race to go, let the games begin. It's a fantasy league. Gotta make some noise within. Got my team assembled, ready to take the crown. I'll dominate this league, tear it down to the ground. I've got my strikers up top, ready to score the goals. Midfield, my strut in the show. Control the flow, defensive wall, standing tall. Won't let them through. Goalkeeper with the gloves, gonna save me too.
Hello everybody, and welcome to 38 Weeks to Go, your weekly podcast about fantasy football. Guys, 37 weeks are done. We have 1 week left to go. How was game week 37 for you? If you're one of the 15 of the 25 of us, you probably got over 100 points. So this might have been the best double game week ever, at least so far for our group. 15 over 25 of us got over 100 points. That really just cheapens what 100 points means, you know? I got 123 points, but I did not change my position on the table. And that's mainly because the four people above me got 100 plus, and the four people below me got 100 plus. So it's like we just all moved together. That's wild. But congratulations to everybody. You really did the most. You really tried to take advantage, and it worked out in our favor collectively, just not maybe individually. So with my team, I was left with the triple captain, and I used it on Haaland. I won't lie, it was not looking good after the first game. I wasn't sure how he would score. Even the goals he scored against Tottenham weren't really convincing, but he scored them anyway and he got the bonus points. He was my triple captain and that gave me 45. That's a great return and I'm happy. Of course, the people who had Vardiol and the people who were highest in the world had captained or triple captained Vardiol. In fact, I saw this guy who had triple captained Fernandes, and Fernandes missed the first game. There were reports not too long ago that he would miss the Wednesday game. His vice captain was Vardiol. Those people who triple captained Vardiol got 81 points. Fernandes played and he got 15. I'm telling you, I'm sure this guy must have been praying to the football gods. So up top, I had Haaland as my captain. He gave me 45 points. I had Isak, who gave me 4 points, Nicholas Jackson, who gave me 7 points. Then I had Palmer, who gave me 14 points, Bruno Fernandes 5, Foden 11, Gordon 8, Kukureya 6, White 6, Akanji 12, even though he almost handed Son the game, and then Onana 5. And that gave me a grand total of 123 points, or 1-2-3. When I look over the double game week, I would say Tottenham and Newcastle were the biggest disappointments. Newcastle drew 1-1 with Brighton and lost 3-2 to Manchester United. When we were choosing our Newcastle players, we had more hope. We had higher expectations of Newcastle. For Spurs, we really hoped for the Burnley game to produce a massive result, not anything else. I did not trust anything that Spurs were doing, so I did not gamble with anything to do with them. But for some of you guys, you had three players even, and for those of you who had Son as captain, I am so sorry. The marquee game of the weekend was Manchester United versus Arsenal. Arsenal won 1-0. My new squad was so depleted. To be honest, that game wasn't much of a contest. It's the kindest 1-0 you'll see for a while. Trossard scored off an assist from Havertz, Saliba and Trossard got the 3 bonus points, and Gabriel got 1. This set up the stage for Manchester City versus Spurs. I won't lie, this is the most support I've seen Tottenham players or team get from Arsenal fans. Everybody was united under that banner. I'm sure when Son missed that chance Arsenal fans resigned. Man City won that game 2-0, in spite of Akanji's best efforts to lose the title. Haaland had 2 goals, an assist from De Bruyne, and he scored the penalty when Doku was taken down. Haaland finished with 3 bonus points, Ruben Dias finished with 2, and Walker finished with 1. For the first time in a long time, Manchester City's clean sheets came through. The 2 highest scoring games of the weekend came when Manchester City beat Fulham 4-0. And that's where Guardiola had 2 goals. Alvarez had the penalty, and I was just like, no, why was Haaland subbed? Anyway, and then Foden had 1. Bernardo Silva had 2 assists. Haaland missed a sitter. De Bruyne had an assist as well. In fact, having Bernardo Silva, KDB, or Foden were all good ideas. They delivered. Guardiola, of course, had the 3 bonus points. Bernardo Silva had 2, and Foden had 1. Liverpool, 3. Aston Villa, 3. The funniest thing about this game is that it looked like it was over when Liverpool went 3-1. And then John Duran refused to let Villa lose. It's weird, I think Klopp has stumbled into the fact that Gakpo is a better finisher than Nunez. And I hope Slot continues with this when he comes in. Martinez scored the most random own goal ever. I don't even know what was going on. It's like he was asleep. Gakpo and Kwanzaa had the other goals for Liverpool. Duran had 2, Tielemans had 1. Chambers, Watkins and Diaby had the assists for Aston Villa. Elliot and Gomez had the assists for Liverpool. Duran had 3 bonus points, Kwanzaa had 2, and Tielemans had 1. There were 5 goals in the game between Nottingham Forest and Chelsea. It was a very entertaining game, end-to-end stuff. Nottingham Forest really fought, really wanted to stay up, really wanted to have it in their own hands. Luckily for them, West Ham beat Luton, so it still goes down to the end of the league, but it's pretty much done unless a deduction happens. Callum Hudson-Odoi scored 1 goal. He should have had maybe more than 1. He was dangerous. He came for his old team with a vengeance. He was running at them the whole game and they did not know what to do. How they did not capitalize more on what he was doing, I do not understand. But he was by far the best player on the pitch, even though they lost. And maybe if not the best, the most dangerous. Morgan Gibbs-White had both the assists for Nottingham Forest, and for Chelsea, Mudryk, Nicholas Jackson and Sterling had the goals, off assists from Caicedo, James and Palmer. Chelsea seemed to be figuring things out much better now. Caicedo looks really good in the midfield. Also, there's been an uptick in form since Enzo Fernandez left. I'm not sure if those two things are related, but it happened. Caicedo and Bolly had 3 bonus points each. Gibbs-White and Palmer each had 1 bonus point. In the double game, there were only 4 clean sheets. 2 of those came from Manchester City. The other one, of course, you know, Arsenal. And the last one wouldn't be a surprise. Everton. They kept another clean sheet. So now, let's look at the top performers of the week. The top performer of the week was Guardiola from Manchester City. He had 27 points. In second place, none other than Erling Haaland. He had 15 points. 3-4-5 is a tie between Palmer, Ruben Dias, and Amad Diallo from Manchester United. Who would have known that he would be the differential? There were 4 clean sheets, and 2 of them came from Manchester City. Edison got 13 points. Pickford was second with 8. Verbruggen was third with 6. Raya, Muric, Onana, Dubravka were tied for the rest with 5. When it comes to defenders and the rest, I'll be reading those who got 10 and above or just the top 5. Guardiola leads defenders with 27 points, followed by Ruben Dias, and then Gusto and Walker tied with 13. Akanji and Van de Ven got 12. Boli and Pedro Porro got 10. So that was a really good turnout from the defenders. When it comes to the midfielders, Palmer was a top midfielder with 14, tied with Amad. Then Bernardo Silva with 13. Mbeumo and Olise tied De Bruyne with 12. Trossard, Foden, Mainoo and Longstaff got 11. And Susek got 10. You know, Longstaff, he just tends to appear with the goals every now and then. It's quite interesting. When it comes to strikers, Haaland was the best with 15, followed by Duran with 12, Wissa with 11, Welbeck and Mateta tied with 9. Mateta is really finishing strong this year. Now for some facts and news. As we all know, Rodri is on a personal unbeaten run. Let me just give you some numbers to quantify his awesomeness. In the Premier League this season, he has the most accurate passes, 3,053. He has the most accurate passes in the final third, 925. He has the most final third entries, 407. This season, he has the second highest rated player rating, which is 7.62. And on top of that, he has 7 goals and 9 assists. Josko Vardiol, in his last 7 games for Manchester City, he has 5 goals and 1 assist. Talk about picking up form. KDB has moved into second place for the most assists in Premier League history. He recently overtook Fabregas. Fabregas is now in third with 111 assists in 350 appearances, while KDB has 112 assists in 259 appearances. In case you're wondering who has the most, it is Ryan Giggs. He has 162, but in 632 games. So in this case, it feels more like a longevity stat, more than like he was this great pass of the ball. That roughly comes to an assist every 4 games, while KDB's is an assist every 2.9 games, pretty much every 3 games. And anyone who has watched those two players play will tell you easily that it's clear that KDB is the better passer. Cole Palmer becomes the first Chelsea player to score 10 goals and provide 10 assists in their first Premier League season. After losing to Arsenal, Manchester United have now lost 14 games in a single Premier League season for the first time in their entire history. Which basically says that Ten Hag did a worse job than Moyes, who was sacked. Speaking of Arsenal, Arsenal have now broken their record for most wins in a Premier League season with 27. The previous was 26 during their invincible run. Also, if they win their game against Everton on the final day, that will take them to 89 points, which will be 1 point beneath the 90 points they gained when they were invincible. Aston Villa have now qualified for the Champions League for the first time in 41 years. Congratulations to them. Also, for some lighter news, Arsenal beat, or rather were beaten by Aston Villa twice. Those 6 points are what helped Aston Villa qualify over Tottenham. I don't know how true this is, but when Moyes was asked about defeating Manchester City in order to prevent them from winning the title, he responded, "It would be difficult to stop the under-14s winning the title." So do with that what you will, Arsenal fans. This is a real quote. In other news, Premier League clubs are going to hold a meeting. There's a proposal on the table to abolish the VAR system. It was tabled by Wolves and they're done with VAR. Well, it has been unkind to them, so I can see why. But what do you guys think? Should VAR stay? Should it go? Chelsea will receive 5 million bonus from Hazard's transfer to Real Madrid following Real Madrid's qualification to the Champions League final, in spite of Hazard having retired 7 months ago. These contracts are amazing. Just like Dortmund are playing Real Madrid. If Dortmund lose to Real Madrid, they get 25 million because Bellingham has played in the final. But if they win the Champions League final, they get 20 million. So if you're Dortmund, what do you do? In Spain, Girona have qualified for the Champions League. They are owned by the same people that own Manchester City. Because of this, it is impossible for both clubs to play in the Champions League next season. So, in order for this to happen, the owners have to reduce their share in one of the teams. And if they fail to do so, one of the teams will be forced to play in Europa. It could be Girona, or it could be City, but it'll probably be Girona. Why? Because England have a higher UEFA coefficient. Manchester United have conceded 84 goals this season, the most in 60 years for them. Sticking with Manchester United, Onana is the first keeper in Manchester United history to face 200 shots in a single season. Basically, cut him some slack. He has no defense in front of him, and he has done the best he can. Before beating Tottenham, Manchester City had never scored at the Tottenham Stadium. In their previous four games, they had lost 2-0, 2-0, 1-0, 1-0. So Haaland's two goals are Manchester City's first two goals ever at the Tottenham Stadium. Pep has broken his curse. Sticking on City, Ederson got injured with 21 minutes left to go, and Ortega came on in his place. When he came on, he made three crucial saves in those 21 minutes, including that crazy one-on-one with Son, and that earned him man of the match. I know we feel iffy about Haaland, but just listen to this. Haaland has passed Aguero's Golden Boot winning total of 26 goals in his first two seasons at Man City. As in, he has scored over 26 goals in both of his seasons at Man City. This boy is prolific. Cole Palmer has been having an amazing first season at Chelsea. To put it into context, only Harry Kane and Mbappe have more goal assist contributions than Palmer this season. After a poor start, Haaland has 15 goals in his debut season for Manchester United. That is a very encouraging start. Maybe they have the pieces. All the three goals that were scored last night against Newcastle were scored by players 21 or under. And finally, Mikel Arteta has been bestowed upon the Royal Order of Isabella the Catholic in Spain for his services to his homeland. This medal is given by the King of Spain. Earlier on, I spoke about Mateta's great finish to the end of the season. In his last five matches, he has had 6 goals, 1 assist, 9 bonus points, giving him a total of 46 points. KDB has been amazing for Manchester City away from home. In his last 5 away games, he has contributed 53 points. In Game Week 28, he had 6. In 32, he had 18. In 34, he had 9. In 35, he had 11. And in Game Week 37, he had 9. Class. This double game week of Game Week 37 saw the most chips ever used in FPL history, with 2,378,983 chips active. Erling Haaland was the most captained player this game week, with 53.56%, followed by Cole Palmer with 10.7%, and somehow Salah with 5%. Those must either be all Liverpool fans or people who just didn't make the team, like Alexander Mutune. Vardiol's 66 points in 5 games sees him closing on the biggest points return for a defender in consecutive game weeks. Did I say 5? I meant 6. Number 1 is Trent Alexander-Arnold, who got 95 points in 11 games. Number 2 is Robertson, who got 88 points in 10 games. This is in the 2021-22 season. Trent was in the 19-20 season. Trippier, 75 points in 8 games in the 2022-23 season. And Mr. Ben White, 72 points in 8 games in the 2023-2024 season. This one. And Vardiol is behind him with 66 points in 6 games. KDB has gotten the most assists per fewest minutes, 118.6, of anyone in Europe's top 5 this season. No one in the Premier League has more assists, even though KDB has only played 23 games. James Milner has signed a new contract with Brighton, a 1-year extension. He is 20 games away from becoming the number one all-time appearance maker. Wondering who number one is? It's probably Ryan Giggs. I'm guessing, I don't know. Klopp took over Liverpool in 2016. Since then, he has won 7 major trophies and 1 Premier League title, and he has spent £346 million. Ahead of him is Manchester City. In that same period, they've won 15 major trophies and 5 Premier League titles. In that period, they have spent £630 million. Chelsea are third. They have won 6 major trophies and 1 Premier League title, and they have spent £1 billion. Manchester United are fourth. They have spent £1 billion as well, have only won 4 major trophies. Arsenal are fifth. They have spent £702 million and have won 2 major trophies. Tottenham are sixth. They have spent £570 million and they've won nothing. Before they did it, Manchester City had not won away at Tottenham in 2023 days. When looking at invincible seasons, Arsenal's 2003-04 Premier League invincible seasons, they played 38 games, had 26 wins, 12 draws and 0 losses. And that was a 68.5 win percentage. Bayer Leverkusen have played 33 games, have 27 wins, 6 draws and 0 losses. 82% win rate. They have been undefeatable. They just refuse to lose. If you're an Arsenal fan and you want to feel a little bit bad, just think about this. Arsenal under Mikel Arteta have now gotten 86 points in 7 of 13 titles that Sir Alex won. 7 of them were less than 86 points. So in many other seasons, this would have been enough to lift the title. But then again, if you want to feel better, remember that Liverpool got 97 points and still lost. I'm not sure if you guys saw that Manchester United Stadium Old Trafford flooded during the Arsenal game. Some cheeky person on the internet came up with his stats. At a height of 55 meters, Old Trafford stands as England's fourth tallest waterfall. And if you're interested in which one is the first, it is Cowdley Spout, which is 76 meters. On the verge of making Premier League history, Guardiola refused to take the penalty in order to allow Alvarez to take it against Fulham. He would have become the first defender in Premier League history to score a hat-trick. Anyone who has been playing fantasy this season knows that Saliba has been amazing. But just to put it into context, he has won Man of the Match at Anfield, Etihad and Old Trafford, meaning that at the highest of challenges, he has risen to the top and been the best performer. Phil Foden has scored 25 goals for Manchester City this season. None of them have been a penalty. When looking at the lineup of Manchester United versus Arsenal, the first thing you would notice is that it looked very weird. Unfamiliar faces, people you would expect to be there weren't there. So I decided to look into injuries. Chelsea have faced the most injuries this season, 54. And this has seen a total of 309 games missed by players. In second place, we have Newcastle, who have had 38 injuries and have had 258 games missed by their players. In third place, Brentford have had 21 injuries and have seen their players miss 255 games. Manchester United is in fourth. They have had 35 injuries and have seen their players miss 233 games. I guess with these injuries, well, we've known about Chelsea, but I guess it's mostly about timing. The injuries have come at the wrong time for Manchester United. I'm wondering how favorably or not this makes Ten Hag look. And it also explains Brentford's season, because they have been better than they showed, but they just haven't had people available. Speaking of Manchester United, since Alex Ferguson retired, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is number one in having spent the most money, with £441 million spent. Number two, Erik Ten Hag, £411 million spent. Number three, Jose Mourinho, £392 million. Number four, £259 million, Louis van Gaal. Number five, David Moyes, £65 million. He really wasn't given enough time. And the total spend is £1.56 billion. So one can definitely say that their managers have been supported well, except David Moyes. Random question. If Arsenal don't win the Premier League this weekend, and somehow Manchester United beat Manchester City in the FA Cup final, would you say that Erik Ten Hag had a better season than Arteta? Sheffield have become the first team in Premier League history to concede 101 goals in 37 matches. There will be more this weekend. To more continental news, Leverkusen make history as they beat Benfica's record of 48 games unbeaten in all competitions between December 1963 and February 1965. They have gone 49 games unbeaten, 0 games lost, and 136 goals scored. Carlo Ancelotti is the first manager in the Champions League history to reach 6 finals, and he has only lost one of them. He may just go down as one of the best managers of all time, if not the best. In our group, Haaland was the most captained player with 12 captaincies. He was triple captained twice. Palmer was selected by 3 as his captain, Isak, KDB, and Son were each selected twice. Fernandes, Salah were chosen once. The most popular selection this week was having Palmer in your team. He was chosen by 23 managers. Isak and Haaland were tied for second place and were chosen by 20 managers. Foden was chosen by 18 and Gordon was chosen by 11. It wouldn't surprise you if I told you that Vardiol is the most brought in player this week. In second place, it is Olise from Palace, followed by Havertz, Mateta and Foden. In terms of players out, Saka is number one, KDB is number two, Fernandes is third, Gordon is fourth and Shah is fifth. The weekly average was 83 points. If you got above 83 points, well done. The highest points gotten this week was 174. This week shows our highest, or rather, the smallest gap between the weekly leader and our leader. Our highest leader got 150, and that man is Brian Rutere, manager of Bite YNWA. He got 150 points. As if that wasn't impressive enough, number two got 146, number three got 134, and fourth place was a tie between LED Dark Horse, who got 130, and Kimio Mutinda, who got 130 as well. Let me read to you the guy who got 174 points. His team was impressive. His captain was Haaland. He played bench boost. So Haaland was his captain, he got 30 points. Second striker, Isak, who got 4 points. In the midfield, he had Palmer, who got 14, Madueke, who got 4, Bumo, who got 12, KDB, 12 as well, Gordon, 8. Then he had Pedro Porro, who had 10, Gusto, who had 13, and Vardiol, who had 27. Then he had Dubravka in goal, who got 5. His bench keeper was Pickford, who got 8. Tarkowski got 9. Saliba got 9. Mateta got 9. Talk about a perfect bench boost. Like I said, in our group we got 15 people over 100 points. That's wild. Brian Rutere was our leader. He got 150. He played bench boost as well. Haaland was his captain, naturally. Well, I shouldn't say naturally, but Haaland was his captain. Nicholas Jackson was his second striker, who got 7. Isak got 4. Then in midfield, he had Palmer with 14, Olise with 12, Son with 4, Foden with 11. At the back, he had Danburn, who got 3. Imagine if Casemiro didn't save that shot. Anyway, Pedro Porro got 10, Vardiol 27. In goal, he had Petrovic. And then on bench, he had Raya, who had 5, Garnacho, who had 4, Saliba and Gabriel, who had 9 and 7, respectively. Petrovic had 3. As you can imagine, 150 points is quite a haul. And this saw him jump 3 positions from number 10 to number 7. And this is why I take those screenshots. I'm very happy now. I finally found a purpose for them. Anyway, back to the table. Vic City, our number 1 leader. And at this point, I don't know, but it seems like he's our champ. He got 146 points. Talk about putting pressure. Like he's just, he's going. He's not stopping. 146. He is now 46 points ahead of number 2. Now, number 2 got 103. Number 3 got 130. Number 4 got 110. Like, we tried. A bunch of us really tried. We all got over 100, but 146, now what are we supposed to do? So he keeps his position. Looking at his team, he also used the bench boost. It seems like the bench boost was king this time around. I know it really helped me in the last game week, but it was really chef's kiss this week. Up front, he had Haaland, who got 30. He had Isak, who got 4. Then he had Palmer, who got 14. He had Son, who got 4. People really believed in Son. Huh? Gordon had 8. Foden had 11. Garnacho had 4. At the back, he had Vardiol, who had 27. And then Pedro Porro with 10 and Gabriel with 7. In goal, he had Petrovic, who had 3. On his bench, he had Raya, who had 5, Solanke, who had 6, Bradley, who did not play and gave him 0, and Gusto, who gave him 13. And that's how he got 146. Well done, Vic. You have played to the very end. So he stays at number 1, 46 points ahead of Simnanijua, who got 103 points. 103 is not bad, but 146 is more. We have a new number 3 and number 4. Alexander Mutune, once he got to make his team that one time, he gave up. Salah was, of course, his captain. But anyway, he got 80 points below average. Can you believe that? 80 points below average. Hey, who are we? So, we have a new number 3, and his name is LED. 130 points, 2,329 points. He is 40 points behind Simnanijua, and roughly 30 points ahead of number 4, who is Leon Mwatia. Why are you running? Leon looks to secure Champions League place. I think by the end of this, Alexander Mutune will be out of Europe contention, because Leon is 3 ahead of Tune, and Tune is just 6 ahead of number 6, Tomi Oladipo. And Brian Retere, who's number 7, is just 20 points behind Tune, or 24 points behind Leon. So, depending on how this final game week goes, this 3 to, maybe not say 3, but 4 to 8, it hasn't been settled yet. Actually, it's more like 4 to 10, because from number 10 to number 4, it's just 30 points, or rather 33. So, depending on what happens, it's possible for Leon Mwatia to find himself number 10. Could this fantasy stuff. We have known this for a while, but at the bottom, it's just Melvin and Jeremiah Berry who are last. They got, Melvin got 62, Jeremiah got 74, and then 23 is now last from the people who are actually trying to play. He got 74 points, 1915. Team Kubo in 22 got 102 points. In his interview, he talked about getting 100 points every week to reach the top, but I think he only got it once since the interview. He has 1979 points. Ahead of him is Tagana Gederu, who got 94 points and has 2032 points. And between number 21, him, and number 20 is 30 points. Between number 20 and number 18 is 32 points. Between number 18 and number 16 is 30 points. Between number 16 and number 11, it's about 40 points. So as you can see or hear, in these pockets of the table, there's still competition. And the final places are still up for grabs. This table is not going to be what it looks like at the end. With 1 week left to go, there are not too many moves to be made now. This is pretty much it, but we have 1 week left to fight, so let's fight. Let's look at the games. All the games will happen on Sunday, so it is up until Sunday that you have to make your teams. They are all being played at the same time, so it will be like a multi-screen type thing. Eyes will really only be on Manchester City and Arsenal. Those two games are the marquee games of the weekend. Because whoever wins, well, if Man City doesn't win and Arsenal win and vice versa. And for relegation, I guess you could say Luton and Forest are still fighting. Depending on how the final game goes, Chelsea could sneak into Europa or Newcastle could sneak into Europe and kick Chelsea out. It really depends. So I guess Europe, there's still some things there. So looking at Arsenal versus Everton, Arsenal are in great form. They have been the best team this season, if not the second best. Well, I guess we'll know too at the end of the game week, huh? In their last 5 games, they have won all the games. Everton have been comparably impressive in that in their last 5 games, they've drawn 1 and won 5. And they've won with 5 clean sheets, well, or rather 4 clean sheets. That's impressive. They haven't lost in the last 5 games, but they haven't won in any of the 11 games away from home, that is. Arsenal have kept the most clean sheets. They have had the best defense. In their last 5 matches, it must be said that Arsenal have been convincing winners at home. In their last 5 games, they've lost 2 to Everton, but they lost them at Goodison Park. So all points, all roads lead to an Arsenal victory at home. Although they're both in good form, anything can happen. But Arsenal are favourites, and they want to win the league, so they will do their part. To this end, whoever you've been choosing now as your Arsenal frontrunners, those are the guys you should choose. If it's Trossard, have your Trossard, even though I know none of you guys are Trossard guys. But have your Havertz, have your Saka, have your Odegaards, have your Salibas. You know, just the people who have been true to you, choose them. If you're an Everton guy, you know how it is. For them to have any good result, you just know the defense has to show up. And if they show up, it's a clean sheet. So you have to gamble whether you want either like Doucouré or Calvert-Lewin or like a Pickford and a Branthwaite. Moving on to Brentford versus Newcastle. Newcastle will be looking to win this game because they'll be hoping to sneak into Europe. So at the very least, you know they'll be motivated to play and win this game. There was a surprise return for Trippier, although it didn't help them, but it's good to have him back. Their defense has been shaky at best, so I wouldn't recommend getting into him for this game. For Newcastle, really, it's Gordon, Isak, and the third is your choice. In their last five encounters, Newcastle have won four and drawn one against Brentford. So they are strong favourites for this clash. When I look at the last five games that Newcastle have played, they haven't beaten anybody good. They have two wins, one draw and two losses. The two wins came against Sheffield and Burnley, and the losses came against the much-improved Crystal Palace, and they were beaten by Manchester United last night. Newcastle versus Brighton was their last draw. Brentford have been better. If you remember the stats a few minutes ago, they have had many injuries, and that has really affected their season. And as people have been coming back, they have been better. And therefore, it's been hard to tell what is a true Brentford. In their last five games, they have three wins and a draw and one loss. It must be said, their wins are not that impressive in that they beat Luton, they beat Sheffield, they beat Bournemouth is an impressive victory. They drew with Fulham and they lost to Everton. So their results for both of these teams, their five recent games are what they are. But, you know, when you look and you're like, is this really impressive? I don't know. But anyway, if you're getting Brentford players, you have to get Wissa. He's their best performer over the recent few weeks, followed by Mbeumo and then a defender of your choice, Reguilón, Pinnock, Ayer. Brentford are unbeaten in five, while Newcastle haven't kept a clean sheet in five games. And Newcastle are not great away from home. So things could be skewed just a little bit in Brentford's favour. Now, both teams have a bunch of injuries and a bunch of doubtful players. So before looking into their players, or rather before choosing their players, just check into that. Brighton versus Manchester United. Brighton have won four of the last five games they have played Manchester United in the league. Wow, I didn't think their record was that one way. As in, the last four times they played, they've beaten Manchester United. Having said that, Brighton are not exactly the team they have been. With Mitoma and all these dynamic players missing, they're low-key a better Crystal Palace. Watching them against Chelsea, they really did nothing until Reece James got sent off. And I don't see how they're going to score. But their record is their record, but they're missing key players. Manchester United continue to concede, so there's a good chance that either Adingra or Gross or Welbeck or João Pedro will score. And those are really the players that I would encourage you to get. From Manchester United, Højlund, Amad Diallo, Garnacho and Fernandes are the best bets. Burnley versus Forest. Kompany is gone, but he'll probably want to finish on a high. Nottingham Forest are technically safe in that their goal difference is superior to Luton's, but they'll still want to win. So Forest will be looking towards Wood, who has been missing golden opportunities, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Elanga, and Morgan Gibbs-White. They have only really met once in the Premier League, and it was a draw. So it's hard to say, but I'd still lean towards Forest. Now, if you're looking for Burnley players, you have Asignon, Lyle Foster, Odubert, and of course, Brun Larsen. Both teams haven't kept a clean sheet in over 10 games, so there will be goals in this one. It's just a matter of who will score more. If you're a historical guy, Burnley have not lost to Nottingham Forest in their last 9 meetings with each other across all competitions. Moving on to Chelsea versus Bournemouth. This is not an easy game, and any team can win this game. Chelsea have been in great form of late, They've won their last 4 or 5 games, and they have looked good doing it. It feels like the season has come together towards the end. Of course, if you're going to choose a Chelsea player, you need to choose Cole Palmer. And then after that, you can say, actually, you can go wherever you want. You can go Conor Gallagher, you can go Madueke, you can go Malagusto or Cucurella, or you could go Nicholas Jackson or Sterling. If you're looking at Bournemouth, their last 5 games have not been so good. They have lost 3 of the last 5 and won 2 of the last 5. In their last 5 games against Chelsea, they've lost 3 and drawn 2. So Chelsea are favourites here. Bournemouth have been impressive this season, and at this point, the result doesn't matter for them. So they'll just play. Solanke, Senesi, Kluivert, Billing, Semenyo, Christie. There's so many players from this team to choose. It's just hard to know. But if I was to bring it down to one, it's Solanke. After that, your guess is as good as the rest. Crystal Palace versus Aston Villa. I am very sure Aston Villa are very happy to be getting Crystal Palace when their season is already decided. They're in the Champions League. Nothing can change that, because this would not be an easy game. In their last 5 games, Aston Villa have lost 3 and drawn 2. Crystal Palace have played 5, won 4, drawn 1. They're in great form. Glasner has figured everything out, and they are firing on all cylinders. Also, Eze and Olise are back. Eze, Olise, Mateta, easy. Now, on the other side, you have Watkins. Then your pick of either Diaby, Bailey, Tielemans, John Duran. Their last 5 encounters have seen Aston Villa win 3 times, draw 1, and lose 1. So they are the favoured team historically. But if recent form has anything to do with it, I believe Crystal Palace will come out on top. Liverpool have been stumbling towards the end of the season. And this game, their final home game against Wolves, is great for them because they find another team that is stumbling towards the end. Gary O'Neill has had a great season, but his team over the last 5 games has lost 4 and won only 1, and that was against Luton. For Liverpool, it's really hard to know who's going to perform because there's a bit of a rotation going on, but Gakpo has been really impressive. If you put a gun to my head, I would say Gakpo, Robertson, and Salah. For Wolves, I would say Cunha, that Korean guy, and Ait Nouri. And Ait Nouri only because he's a defender who plays as a winger. So if they somehow get a clean sheet, he'll get points. And he has the added bonus of being able to score. And that means he gets more as a defender. But he's playing as a winger. It's like they're trying to make him Gareth Bale, but he isn't. But I also don't see why you'd be choosing 3 players in this team. So one of those top 2 will be fine. They have really struggled without Neto. They need him back. Hopefully he can be fitter next season. Their head-to-head shows Liverpool winning 3, drawing 1, and losing 1. They're favourites. And I believe that this final game for Klopp, given Wolves' form, this will be a good game for Liverpool. Luton versus Fulham. Luton had been a very hard team to keep scoreless. And since October, is it November, only Arsenal have kept them out. So it is likely that they will score. Who? I don't know. Could be Morris. Could be Ogbene. It could be Barkley. It could be Doughty. It could be Adebayo. Whichever Fulham player works for you, continue with that. However, if you're a Fulham guy, this isn't a bad game to have Leno. I mean, if you look at the last few games that Fulham have played against Luton, they just seem to have their number. Why? I don't know. But they do. Both teams are in horrible form, so this is a kind game to both of them. It gives them the chance to finish on a high. Or it might just be a draw. Fulham haven't scored in their last 2 games. And Luton haven't won a game in the last 5. They haven't kept a clean sheet in the last 17. If only Fulham were at home, I'd have told you Muniz. But I'll still tell you Muniz. And the Cordova Reed, maybe a Palinha, Iwobi, and maybe their defenders, whichever one is working for you. The other marquee game for this season, finale, sees Manchester City receive West Ham. So Man City have the opportunity to win the league at home. Man City have been really good defensively of late, so I would easily recommend a defender, whichever one works for you. Probably Guardiola, especially if you don't have him or any defender. After that, you pick Foden, KDB. No, KDB might be injured, so watch out on that. But Bernardo Silva, Foden will play for sure. And Haaland at the top. Haaland will be my captain because I know they want to win this game. In their last five fixtures, Man City have beaten them 4 times and drawn once. Man City tend to have a favourable result against everyone. Ward-Prowse, Susek and Earthy were the scorers the last time West Ham went out. They gave Moyes a good send-off at home and now they will be beaten. Kudus, Ward-Prowse, Bowen, Antonio are your bets, but you'd have to be the bravest Arsenal fan to do this. West Ham have struggled to keep clean sheets, as you Ariola owners know. So, I don't know. It's just not looking good. This should be a Man City victory. Last but not least, Tottenham versus Sheffield. Tottenham want to play in Europe, want to remain in Europe. They will be playing for Europe. And therefore, Son, Richarlison, Kulusevski will be doing their best. They should win this game and continue to inflict damage upon this historic, horrible season that Sheffield have had. These two teams are in horrible form. Tottenham have lost 4 of their last 5 games, and Sheffield, it wouldn't surprise you if I told you they've lost 5 of their last 5 games. So this will be a good game for the Spurs to finish high, because I guess their fans would be happy if Arsenal don't win, because they lost and helped Spurs make sure Arsenal don't win, and then they win the last game. So they have 2 wins in 1. Does that make sense? Football is funny. Both teams haven't kept a clean sheet in their last 10 matches. Sheffield haven't won a match in 13 games, and Spurs haven't won in 5. So this game has the potential to be very ugly. So if you were choosing a Sheffield player, Brereton Diaz, Archer, Hammer are your best bets. I've already gone through the Spurs player, but just again, it's really going to be Son, Brennan Johnson, Maddison, Kulusevski. And that will be our final game week of the season. Can you believe that? Game week 38 will be done. As in 38 weeks are gone. Time has really flown. Now, when looking at a captain choice, now you have definitely Haaland, you have Foden, or Bernardo Silva, and then of course for you cheeky ones, Guardiola. You can choose Son, but I don't understand why you choose Son after he's burnt you twice in recent memory. You could choose Salah or Gakpo. Having Olise or Mateta wouldn't be a bad idea. Cold Palmer would also be a good idea. Solanke has been consistent this season. Morgan Gibbs-White has been low-key good. Wissa, Mbeumo, Gordon could be good captains. An Everton defender, or your choice of Saka, Havertz, Trossard, and Odegaard, or Saliba, or Ben White, whichever defender you use. It honestly feels to me like there are that many captain choices this week. So, apart from that, I hope you savour this last weekend. Thankfully, we'll have Euros to keep us busy in the summer. Apart from that, I hope the rest of your week is winding well. See you on Sunday.